Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. We're going to take a little break from our 2 Peter study. And I had no peace about preaching from 2 Peter tonight. And I believe this is where the Lord wants us to go. We're in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. And we're going to go down through chapter 5, verse 2. So Proverbs 4, beginning with 14 and down through 5 and verse 2. Proverbs 4. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come and thank you for this blessed book. And as we look to this passage tonight, I pray that you would speak to our hearts once again. Help us to see those principles and precepts, those spiritual truths that we have need of in this service. Have your will and way in all that's said and done. We just want you to be pleased, you to be lifted up, you to be honored, you to be glorified in everything that's said and done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, Avoiding the Path of the Wicked. Avoiding the Path of the Wicked. Most of the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon, the son of David. Solomon is believed to be the wisest man to ever live because he possessed godly wisdom. When Solomon became king after the death of David, God did something very special for him. God told Solomon to ask anything of him, and it would be given to him. Solomon then requested that God would give him a special wisdom that he might rule his people well, and God honored that request and granted that request to Solomon. Here then in the book of Proverbs, we find a collection of very practical principles and precepts being offered to us by Solomon. These are words of wisdom that when applied in the believer's life will help him to avoid many of the hurts, heartaches, and pitfalls of life. In the verses we've read, we find Solomon dealing with a single idea or warning. In verses 14 and 15, he warns God's people against following in the ways of the unsaved. In verses 16 through 19, he contrasts the way of the wicked with the way of the just or righteous person. And when we come to verse 20 through 22, we find Solomon admonishing believers to heed his warnings and follow his advice. Then we come to verses 23 through 5, verse 2. He lays out clearly just how the believer can avoid the path of the wicked. And this evening, I believe this is a warning we all need to take to heart. We must be careful what path we follow. The enemy is very subtle, and he's very shrewd, and he will strive to lead us down the wrong path. And our flesh is weak and longs to go down the wrong path, the path of the wicked. So we need to purpose to avoid that path of the wicked. How do we do that? Well, number one, the writer of Proverbs here says, we do that by keeping a clean heart. He says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep is interesting. It means to guard, to watch over, to guard from dangers, to protect. So Solomon is warning us that we have to protect our hearts. And then he says we're to do it with all diligence. And what he's saying is use extreme care to guard your heart. And then he gives us the reason. He says, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart symbolizes the control center of our being. When he says, he's talking about a heart, he's talking about the very control being or control issue, everything in our hearts and in our lives. And he says that we need to guard that. The heart must be clean and right for our life to be clean and right. We can't have a dirty heart and a clean life. It's that simple. Go over to Psalm 24 for just a minute. 24th Psalm. Look at verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. There's a necessity for a pure heart if we're going to have a pure life. And Solomon wants us to understand that. The heart symbolizes the control center of our being. The heart is the source of all of our behavior. The heart must be clean and right for our life to be clean and right. Notice the connection between the heart and the hands. We do what we do because we are what we are in our heart. I'm going to say that again. We do what we do because we are what we are in our heart. The heart determines what we are, therefore the heart determines what we do. So we need to guard our heart, and we need to guard our heart against wrong influences. We need to keep clean from the sins of the heart. And, these are those sins that kind of aren't out there in the forefront and not maybe as visible as some other sins. I'm talking about lust and covetousness and wicked imaginations and hatred and envying and bitterness and those kind of things that are in our heart. We need to guard our heart towards those things, because they can affect us. And those things, if we have those things in our life, we're not going to be the believers, the Christians we ought to be. We need to keep right with God and the things of God. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We need to guard our heart against the wrong influences. We need to be clean from the sins of the heart. The heart of the wicked is filled with evil and wicked thoughts. I thought about Genesis 6 and verse 5, where God says, the imaginations of a man are only wicked continually. That was in the days of Noah. And what a wicked world it must have been. But you know, I can't help but think about Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so would it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And I look at the world today, and I wonder if we're any less wicked and evil than those ones in the days of Noah was. You know, it could well be that the only thing keeping God from judging the world like he did once is his promise never to do it again. Amen. The world certainly would deserve it from what we see. Well, the heart of the wicked is filled with evil and wicked thoughts. Unguarded and unbridled thoughts are the fare of the unsaved. And the result is evil and wicked deeds. So we need to avoid the path of the wicked, number one, by keeping a clean heart. And then secondly, by maintaining a cautious mouth. Look at verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Froward is being uncontrolled in wickedness. And perverse there is deviating from what's right and acceptable. The tongue can cause much grief and damage in a believer's life if it's not bridled. James devotes an entire chapter to the dangers and the potential damage of the tongue. He says it's like a fire, and he said what damage a little fire can do. The tongue can slander, the tongue can lie, the tongue can ruin reputations, The tongue can stir up strife. There's all manner of evil capable in the tongue. The believer's tongue then must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. James says, the tongue can no man tame. But I believe with all my heart it can be tamed by the Holy Spirit. That's the key to it all. What comes out of one's mouth is evidence of what's in his heart. Oh, we're back to that. Mm-hmm. So believers have to allow the Holy Spirit to control their speech. And you know, when a believer allows the Holy Spirit to control their speech, it will clean up their speech. You won't find a spirit-filled believer using cuss words and that kind of language. It just don't go hand in hand. If we let the Holy Spirit control our tongue, we're not going to be gossiping about other people. And if we let the Holy Spirit control our tongue, it will prevent perverse things from being uttered, like dirty jokes and sexual innuendos and those kind of things. It all comes back to we need to allow the Holy Spirit to have control of what we say. Now, the unsaved on the other side have unbridled tongues. All manner of cussing and filthy talk abounds among them, and they think nothing of it. Many don't even realize how filthy their language really is. Listen, when I got saved, I'd been working in a factory for seven plus years. And I spent the next 7+ years in that same factory. Now, before I got saved, I really didn't pay much attention to how filthy people's talk was. But it was filthy. I realized that after I got saved, just how wicked and filthy the talk there was. And we had men and women, and I was amazed at how filthy some of the women talk. And, you know, I came to the conclusion you haven't been cussed out till you got cussed out by a woman. Amen. But the wicked, they don't realize really in a lot of cases how wicked their speech is. And I've been around people who it seems like they can't say a sentence without using a cuss word. And I don't know about you, but I'm not comfortable around that kind of people. Not that I'm better than them or anything of that nature, but that kind of talk just doesn't sit well with me because it don't sit well with the Holy Spirit. But the unsaved have unbridled tongues, and all manner of wickedness comes from it. So we need to avoid the path of the wicked by keeping a clean heart and by maintaining a cautious mouth. And then thirdly, by developing a controlled eye. The writer here says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Now, the eye gate is one gateway to our hearts and our minds, and ultimately to sin. Three avenues of sin: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And so we need to be very careful about what we allow our eyes to look at. Many sins begin with just a look. Our eyes are the gateway to our mind, and therefore our eyes oftentimes will lead us astray. Many times sins begin with a look. The pattern is this: we see, we want, we take. And we've seen that pattern in the Bible before. Remember Achan? That's what he said happened to him. He saw, he wanted, and he took. By the way, look at the price it cost him. And how about Eve? Eve saw, she wanted, and she took. And so we need to be very careful what we're looking at. There's a pattern there. How about David and Bathsheba? He saw, he wanted, and he took. And he would have been in much better shape if he would have been careful what he was looking at. We need to learn to control our eyes. We need to refuse to look at that which is perverse. Most of us are aware that Pornography today is in epidemic stages in our country. And I've heard some staggering statistics. Statistics like 75% of men have viewed pornography or are viewing it. I shudder to think if we could find the truth, how many Christian men are involved in looking at pornography. You say, preacher, you shouldn't think like that. Christian men aren't like that. Oh, yes, they are. They're just men. And they have weaknesses. And pornography is so available today. You know, you don't have to go to the store to get it anymore. You can have it piped right into your living room. Our computers and our cell phones and all this technology has a lot of wonderful things about it, but it has a lot of dangers too. And so we need to be careful. We shouldn't look at that which is perverse. We shouldn't look at that which is provocative. And we shouldn't look at that which causes covetousness. We shouldn't be looking at things we aren't supposed to have. We need to refuse at that which is worldly or glorifies ungodly behavior. I remember a day on television where there was no cussing. Of course, television then was black and white. And we had three channels. And if you wanted to change channels, you had to get up and walk over the television and turn the knob. If you were a little better well-to-do, you didn't just have an antenna. You had one that you could adjust so you could get different signals. Yeah, that was in the dark ages, back when nobody had any fun. But listen, things have really changed, and not for the better. And now there's all manner of cursing and blaspheming God and things on the television. We need to be very careful. Not just on our TV, but on the movies we're looking at. Now, for a lot of years, I preached against going to Hollywood movies. I still don't go to Hollywood movies because I don't want to support Hollywood. But now we have a problem that no longer is it a case of people going to the movie house. It's bringing the movies into their house. You better be careful what movies you're looking at. Well, it's PG-13. There's a lot of filth in PG-13s. Many times it'll be bad language, nude scenes, those kind of things. Better be careful what we're letting these old eyes see. Many Christians have ruined their lives because they failed to control their eyes. They've looked with lust. They've coveted what was not theirs to have. Divorce and remarriage is likewise in epidemic stages. People say, well, the divorce rate has been going down. Well, yeah, it's been going down because people quit getting married. Hello? A lot of our young people are living together without being married, and they think nothing of it. What's a sad thing? And I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be tied to somebody who didn't want to make a commitment. Isn't marriage a commitment? I thought it was. Many Christians have ruined their lives because they failed to control their eyes. They looked with lust. They looked and coveted what was not theirs. They looked and coveted the things of the world. Listen, I don't think God's against us having things. But we can't put things ahead of Him. And sometimes we find Christians that are doing that. Christians who have looked at perverse and ungodly things and got hooked. Found themselves addicted to pornography. Well, then we need to understand and we need to be careful about our Christian walk. And we need to avoid the path of the wicked. Verse 26 and 27. By exercising a careful walk, It's interesting how Solomon put this. He said, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, when Solomon writes those two verses, he's talking about the daily walk of a believer. Listen, in our daily walk, we need to be very careful in our daily lives. There's a lot of danger out there for us. That's why over in Ephesians, Paul tells us we're to walk circumspectly. That's carefully, like you're walking on thin ice or you're walking in a minefield. Be careful. There's a lot of danger out there, and we need to recognize it. And as such, we should have a planned walk. He says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. We should have a definite path in our life that we're going to follow. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going to walk a path of God's leadership. I'm going to walk a path where I get in the Word of God and find out what my direction should be, what I do and don't do should be laid out, not by what I think or by society or by what you think, but what does God say? And that's how I want to adjust my walk, that I'll walk in obedience to Him. And that's what Christians are supposed to do. We need to have guidelines to keep us on the right path. I thought about Joseph. Remember when he was with Potiphar's wife and she was trying to entice him? And he said, I can't do that kind of sin against God and against my master. He had already made up his mind what he would do and what he wouldn't do before she ever approached him. He had a path set. And friend, we need to have our path set and just make the determination, I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm not going to do what God don't want me to do. And allow that to be the guidelines for us. We need to never veer off of our path. We must be careful where and how we walk. We're to remove our feet from evil. We need to avoid those things, those places, and those people that would cause us to sin against God. You know, sometimes this is a sad thing. Sometimes there's people in our life that we need to get away from. Yeah. I'm not being racist or prejudiced or anything of that kind, of that sort. But sometimes there's just people we need to get away from and stay away from. I think I've told you before how when our kids were growing up, my wife and I had this policy. We kind of kept an eye on who they had as friends. Sometimes they would start chumming up with somebody who we knew wasn't good for them. So we would tell them, you don't need to hang around that person. But watch this. We weren't critical of that person. We would just tell them, it's not good for you to hang around that person. Enough said. But sometimes there's people we need to not be around. They're going to drag us down. And let me warn you, sometimes they're Christian people. Hello? You know, not every Christian's living for the Lord. There's a lot of backslidden, carnal Christians who, if we hang around with them, they're going to lead us astray. We need to be careful about that. We need to walk according to the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 5, verse 16. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And, you know, I've just come to this conclusion. There are some places Christians should not go. There are some doorways we should never darken. And there are some people we should never hang around. Many Christians refuse to heed the warning of the Holy Spirit and end up living like the world. These are guilty of quenching the Holy Spirit and living according to their own desires and the desires of their flesh. Finally, each of us must avoid the path of the wicked by cultivating a consecrated ear. Look at chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. The ear gate is another gate to our mind. It's one of our five senses, hearing. And those senses all influence our mind in one way or another. So we need to be careful what we allow to enter through our ear gate. If we allow unholy, wicked, vile, filthy garbage into our minds by listening to such things, our minds will be affected and polluted by them. That's why we need to be careful about what we're listening to. Again, filthy language on the television and movies and rap music, and believers ought never willingly to expose themselves to that kind of filth. We need to develop what I call spiritual ears. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus said. We need to be attentive in spiritual things. Listen, we need to have ears that are willing to hear when we come to the church house. Amen. We're here to hear the word of God. And we need to have our minds and our hearts focused on what we're hearing. That's why we're here. And not just hearing, but we should be not just hearing, but an understanding people. And we need to hear not just with our ears, but with our heart. How many married folks we got in here? Okay. I won't ask you husbands, but just think about this. How many times has your wife said, you're not listening to me? And we thought, I heard every word you said. It went in this ear and out this one. Amen? Sometimes that's how Christians are in the church house. They hear with their ears, but it just goes in and out. It don't stick around and bounce around in there. By the way, I'm thoroughly convinced there are a lot of Christians who have a lot of space for things to bounce around in there. And but that's not how we're supposed to hear. We're supposed to hear with understanding and hearing hearts. Take what God says to heart and make application. We're to be not just hearers, but doers. That's what James tells us. We need to learn to hear with our heart, not just our head. What we hear ought to make a difference in our lives. We need to learn to be discerning. We need to learn God's principles and precepts to live by through the hearing of God's word. So the scriptures make it very clear that God expects his people to walk a different path, to live in a different way from the wicked. However, this does not just happen in a believer's life. This is something we all have to strive for and work at constantly. Avoiding the path of the wicked. Ask yourself this question. Don't look at your neighbor, but think about yourself. Is your path today different from the ways of the wicked? If we could compare your path with the path of the wicked, would we see a great difference? We certainly should. And then ask yourself this question. Is God pleased with the way you're living? Listen, you don't have to live to please me. You don't even have to live to please your mate. Now, you're going to have a very miserable life if you don't. But you don't have to live to please anybody but the Lord. And that's who we should be striving to please. And, we live in this day and age where so many preachers have gotten away from preaching against sin and preaching. They've gotten away from preaching of living for the Lord. As I read this Bible, it's still biblical principle and truth. Just because we're saved doesn't give us license to live any way we want. We got saved out of the life of the wicked, and we should live a different kind of life than the wicked live. The The Bible says, "When if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." We should be able to look at our life and see a changed life. You know, it's kind of like the butterfly and the caterpillar. There should have been a metamorphosis in your life. That you're not the person you used to be. And you're not just a cleaned up model of the old one. Brand new creature. And that's what we ought to be. And because we are new creatures, we should walk as new creatures. And by walk, I'm talking about our daily lives. Should be different. Ask yourself the question, is mine? Am I walking so that I'm not walking in the path of the wicked? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the book of Proverbs and the wisdom that it brings to us. And we pray now that you would help us to heed the warnings that we've been given here. We should not walk in the ways of the wicked. We should walk in the ways of the righteous. Thank you for showing us how we can do that right here in these few verses in Proverbs. But help us to heed what we've heard. Lord, it's so easy to get off the path. It's so easy to fall off into sin. It's so easy to allow our flesh to rule and reign in our life. Help us to be strong and to stand firm for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Maybe God spoke your heart tonight. You want to come speak to him. We want to give you that opportunity. So, Mrs.